Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Macrocap News on Tuesday, the 12th of July, 2025. God, it's a hot one, isn't it? Sitting in my office here and windows open. And normally in the morning it's quite cool. It is not cool this morning. It's going to be a scorcher this afternoon. This is the fourth heat wave we've had this year. And I think 2022 was the record, 5 heat waves. Anyway, let's look at some macro. I'm going to read this out, all of it. It's about employment and wage growth for the UK, which was released today. And it's not looking good. I mean, as far as the market's concerned, don't panic too much because it confirms what the Bank of England is saying. And if we get weak data in the jobs market and in pay growth, then it seems like interest rates will be coming down at a gradual pace. His belly says, we'll bring him down at a gradual pace. Of course he will. I mean, the man looks like a slug, doesn't he? I don't mean to be personal, but that's the way they seem to work at the Bank of England. For a long time, you know, I've been saying on the podcast, our economy is not growing. You know, after the budget, that disastrous budget back in, was it last year, where you raise the cost for employers, of course it's going to have a knock-on effect. Anyway, I'll read this all out. I've edited it, but these are more salient points. Employers have cut annual pay increases and paid back hiring in recent months as the economic slowdown took its toll on the jobs market. Data from the Office for National Statistics showed that UK unemployment edged higher in the 3 months of June, but the official jobless rate was unchanged at 4.7%, which is a four-year high. Pay growth, including bonuses, dropped from 5% to 4.6% over the same period. However, stripping out one-off awards, pay growth remained at 5%, suggesting employers had cut back on incentives. Giving a strong indication of employers' reluctance to hire new staff, the vacancy rate fell by 44,000. This is the worrying thing. Now, I think recruiters have been saying this for a while. The drop of more than 5% in the 3 months of June in the previous quarter was the 37th consecutive fall in vacancies and took the total to well below pre-pandemic levels at 718,000 vacancies. And that's what's coming down the line, isn't it? Is if there's less vacancies, of course you get many people going for one job, but only one person can get it. And so it just shows a really worrying sign. Siren Thiru, who's economics director at the accountancy body, the ICAEW, said the staff or the rise in employer national insurance in April was still taking a toll on the firm's hiring new staff. Sorry, it was in April, the budget, wasn't it? It seems like a longer time than that. The figures supported the Bank of England's view that the jobs market and pay growth were weakening. The Chartered of Institute for Personal and Development said hiring intentions amongst Britain's businesses remain at a record low, with young people hit the hardest by a drop in recruitment. 57% of private sector employers said they plan to recruit staff in the next 3 months. This has dropped from 65% in autumn 2024. As they dealt with a £25 billion rise in employer national insurance contributions costs and higher minimum wage that took effect in April. Now, it doesn't matter what big plans Reeves and Starmer are doing, it's not going to offset the short to medium-term impact of raising national insurance for employers. So they've got a very tricky game to play here, because I can't see this getting any better. I mean, the only hope for investors in the markets, like I said, interest rates are the biggest mover of the markets. And I can't see them going up with these kind of figures, and I can't see these figures getting any better. As in, I can't see employment going up or wages going up. Is anyone doing well, you know, in the jobs market? Is anyone taking lots of people on? Well, there will be a few companies, of course, and those are the companies who invest in, because they're doing very well. But generally, it's a hard market. UK economy is flatlining. Okay, let's look at the markets here. FTSE 100. It's up 0.1%, 9138. It's sort of in that little range. It's just getting into a range there. At a near all-time high. FTSE 100, but, you know, FTSE 100 is a lot of, you know, big international companies. And so it's not really, endemic or a representation of UK, really. FTSE 250 is more like domestic companies, bigger companies in UK. That's down 0.1%, 21.848. The FTSE small cap, up 0.1%, 7.156. The FTSE fledgling is up just shy of 0.3%. And the AIM all share, it's up 0.1%. It's in that range here. Brent crude oil, down 0.4%, 66.42 bucks a barrel. The recent low here was 59.60. That was back in May. It seems to be rolling over here. It's now below the 200-day moving average again, below 50-day moving average. So not looking good. Gold did fall off a bit yesterday, but still in this range. And even this low yesterday dropped, 2.5% yesterday? But even now, it's still close to recent highs. I see it going up. Still. There's so much uncertainty. I don't think the tariffs, the employment figures are going to get any better in the UK, and tariffs are going to take a bit of an impact. There's still uncertainty out there. I can't see gold dropping. I really can't. It's at $3,391 an ounce, and copper is up 0.5% a day, and that is $9,843 a ton. What's happened with Bitcoin? It's come off. It seems like these big spikes up towards a new high, then it can't sustain that and comes back a bit. It's now at 118,500 pretty much. It did spike to 122,000. I still think it's odd how all these Bitcoin treasury companies are buying. Everyone's apparently buying. And, since July, the start of July, it hasn't made a new high. In fact, let's look at the Bitcoin treasury companies. Pretty much all down again. Smarter Web are up. Their average now is $110,000 a Bitcoin. If Bitcoin gets anywhere near that, that company will crash. Most of them are down. What's that? Satsuma? Vaults Capital's down. Amazing AI. They're amazing at AI, apparently. Very good. That's why they named the company that. But they're also clever at reading policy and FCA rules about leveraging Bitcoin, which they can't do. What else is there? Anything else? Let's have a look at the government bonds here. 2-year, it's up today. 0.8% at 3.9. That's the yield the government will pay you. Or they have to pay. 10-year, 4.6%, up 1%. And the 30-year, up 0.9% to 5.44. Pound against you. Pound will buy you €1.15. It'll buy you $1.34. Bloody hell, it's hot in here. Microcap database. Sorry if I'm lacking energy. It's just the heat in my office. First company. This is alphabetical. Of course, we look at companies that are commercial. So that means they have to have revenue. They don't have to be profitable for the Microcap database, but to get on the Microcap League, they have to be profitable. So Arkentech Group, ARC is ticker. What did they announce today? They announced a trading update. They've got a market cap at 90 pence of 11.9 million, but they've got plenty of cash. They've got about 7.16 million of cash. So their enterprise value is 4.8, that's all it is. So they're a leading independent provider of financial market data, infrastructure, and display solutions with multi-source data collection, value-added processing, publishing, distribution, and display. Yeah, there we are. That's what you need now. So it's quite a short one today. It basically said revenue and adjusted, this is for H1, by the way. Revenue adjusted EBITDA are expected to be in line with market expectations. Profit before tax is expected to be ahead of market expectations, owing to interest income received on bank deposits. So the performance or the outperformance here is not down to the business operations, just down to the cash they hold. So you could say the cash that's sitting in a bank or market making fund, whatever, is outperforming their operations. That should never happen. Otherwise, you may as well just hold it all in cash. You know, if you look at companies, what return can they get on their capital? It should be above what you can get in the bank. What can you get in the bank these days? Or market rates, is it 3-4%? So you want to see them growing, you know, revenue and profits above that. Otherwise, just put it in the bank. If your business is not, you know, improving by more than what you get in the bank, just keep it in the bank. And it brings the fall. What's the point of having a business if you can't get a better return than what you would get in the bank? Anyway, forecast for 2025, revenue up, revenue growth 7% to 3.1 million, net profit down 20% to 855K. They've got net cash of 7.1, so strong balance sheet at 90 pence a share. They're a forecast P 14, but due to their cash, it's probably an EV earnings of 6. So in summary, really, on a positive side, they have a strong balance sheet, possess value, but little growth in revenue and no growth in profits. So your company, you want to, you know, have growth and value. This company has value, has no growth, and it's quite small. Concurrent Technologies, CNC, launch of compact computer system. So they've got a market cap of 166 million, enterprise value of 153. So they've got cash of 13.7 million, no debt. They design and manufacture a range of computing products for use in critical embedded applications. The company was established in 1985, with the majority of its products being high-performance single-board computers based on Intel CPU. Plug-in cards. Anyway, it's worth watching a video I saw. I don't know who it was. I saw an interview with these guys. And they're expanding their product line and manufacturing processes or plant. And they did say they have first heads up on Intel's, I think it was Intel stuff, which then gives them, you know, lead time. And he said, basically, it's about being first to market with certain products. And they've changed that since this new CEO came on board. They've accelerated the pace at which they can get to the market with a new product based on new chips, which has helped them a lot. Launch of compact computer system. What is Brent Salgat, Chief Revenue Officer, said, through close collaboration with our customers, particularly in the US, we are confident that this system will fulfill a need that is currently not well serviced in the market. The modular design and configurable interfaces combined with the ease of deployment and use of offer, given the growing need for pace, agility, and the real-time responses in rapidly evolving conditions, we are confident that Apollo, that's what it's called, is aligned with current and future customer needs, and we are encouraged by early interest. So comments-wise, 2024, they had cracking results. Revenue increased by 27% to 40.3 million. Profit before tax up 49% to 5.2. Cash also increased by 23% to 13.7 million. That's a trifecta. That's what you're looking for. Revenue increasing, profits increasing more, which means the margin is getting better, and cash, the bottom line, also increasing. Perfect. All double digit there. In the H1 2025 trading update, they said they expect to report record results for the first half. Revenue of 21.3 million. Profit for tax of 2.4 versus 2.3. Order intake for the period remains strong at 22.3 million versus 17.8. This means they're in line with market expectations for 25. For 25, they said revenue up by 6% to 43 million. Net profit up 28% to 6 million. At 193 per share, forecast P of 28. 2026 forecasts Revenue up 14% to 49.1 million. Net profit up 17% to 7 million. And at 193 per share, which is currently our forecast P of 24. And 2027, revenue up 17%, 57.6 million. Net profit up 17% to 8.2 million at 193, forecast P of 20. So they have growth and profit forecast for next 3 years. It's double digit. Sorry, profit forecast for next 3 years. And this is double digit revenue growth for 2 or 3 years and double digit revenue growth for 3 of 3 years. So in the first year, 25, you're going to have single digit revenue growth, but profits double digit. But profit is going to be double-digit for 3 years. And revenue double-digit for 2 of the 3 years. So it may not seem cheap, but you are paying for this very decent growth at a quality company. If the share price naturally dips due to non-operational issues, I say it's worth it's a buying opportunity. And the aim is to always buy quality companies improving. This is a quality company improving. You're not going to get good companies cheap. Okay, so that's when you see a global sell-off. It's worth picking out stocks like this, taking advantage because they're strong. And the share price in action has been very strong. So when you get a bit of weakness there, which is not down to the business itself, it's worth taking advantage, I believe. Not investment advice. Do your own research. I may be completely wrong. Ensilica. In a similar kind of area, chips and all that stuff. Well, not really. A leading fabless supplier of complex mixed signal ASIC to OEMs and system houses. They announced today that, new EU Mixed Signal Design Centre in Budapest. Scroll down. They've taken on quite a few employees here, which, to me, if you're a loss-making company, it's a little bit of a worry. The expansion will increase the group's global headcount around 210 employees. So by the end of September, the Budapest team will comprise of 16 experienced engineers, many with 10 or 20 years expertise. Now, it's quite interesting because they design chips for, OEM specific chips for certain operations. And if they get the design win, they get paid. And they can get a royalty. Then if it goes into supply, they get another further royalty. But they take a long time to come on board. So between the design stage and a company buying these chips and using them can take quite a few years. So you may see some big figures coming out initially, and then it'll drop off because that's over many years. And also, it's if there's a potential to say for $30 million, for example, but that has to go into commercial production with their customers first. They've announced recently. First royalty payments have been triggered. An extended royalty agreement has been signed. Who is this with? This is an existing satellite service provider. This is an interesting story, actually, which could transform into a compelling fundamental one. They have intellectual property and have signed quite a few contracts within the space industry over the last 5 years. Whilst these contracts are lumpy and prone to delay, two of them they recently had, when they land, revenue growth could be quite significant. And the global low-orbit satellite market was $5.43 billion in 25. It's forecast to reach $32 billion in 2033, which is compound annual growth rate of 21.4%. And if you look at something like Filtronic, how they've benefited from big contracts. Brokers forecast that Ensilica will be cash-generative financial year 26. But do they have the cash to get there? In the interim results, they had net debt of $2.9 million, but also refinanced a $6 million debt facility, unlocking $2.1 million of additional working capital. Now, if they don't suffer any more delays, hit forecasts, and have no further need for cash, it could be worth watching this. But they're hiring more people, so that'll put more strain on that headroom. So it's worth looking at. Interesting company. Like I said, could do very well, but I think in the short to medium term, there's maybe cash concerns. What's next? Ixco contract win, global leader in neuroscience imaging and biomarker analytics. At 12 pence, share price is 11.3, enterprise value 9.5. So two contracts worth about 1.3 million together. The brokers haven't changed their forecasts. Suffolk Castle offer revenue growth of 9% to 6.3 million. And loss before tax increase. So they announced, this is a tricky one, on the 17th of 7, a bit of a naughty one, they released a full year trading update, and despite revenues being ahead of expectations, losses are bigger than previously forecast. So 2025, revenue up 9%, 6.3 million, previously 6. But loss before tax increased by 5%, 2.3 million, previously 2. They had cash of 3 million, which gives them the 12-month runway. And it's going to be a close call whether they will need to raise cash again. But I would suggest they do. No company wants to be constrained by having no cash or little cash. They would be wise to raise money off the back of some positive contract news. If it lands, maybe later in the year or maybe just now. Summary, very little growth. And due to them forecast to make a loss for the next 2 years, the balance sheet will become under further scrutiny. So, I think can't be bothered loss-making companies. There's too much hassle. You have to worry about whether they need to raise money, all that stuff. And I think this company, sooner or later, will have to raise money. IXI is ticker there. Watkin Jones. Let's see if there's a broken note on this. There wasn't earlier when I looked. No, as yet not. Watkin Jones, a leading developer and manager of residential for rent with a focus on the build-to-rent student accommodation and affordable housing sectors. So at 29 pence, market cap 74 million. The enterprise value at -8.9. It's because they had cash of 96 million. In fact, 74, I think, is net cash. Debt of 13. So, what's this news? So Watkin Jones is pleased to confirm it has signed a development partnership to deliver 200 purpose-built student accommodation units located on Freestone Road, Bristol. How much is this? The transaction is expected to deliver revenue in excess of 2.8 million. Sorry, 28 million. Slip of the decimal point there. 28 million over the development period, with construction scheduled to complete ahead of the 2027 academic year. The issue is, it may seem a lot, but the margin is very slim here. Just looking on comments here. There's no new notes on here. So the H1 figures did not improve on H1 24. Revenue dropped 26%. Loss before tax of $918K versus a profit before tax of 2.12. Free cash outflow of 6.48 million versus an inflow of 1.77. The positive that the net cash increased by 67% to 73.4 million. At 29 pence per share, their market cap is 74 million. Pretty much the same as that. It should support the downside, but to produce some upside, they need to show growth in revenue and profits and hopefully an improvement on margins. In the outlook, they do say in H1, several schemes are currently being marketed with a number of further forward sales from this pipeline targeted for H2 2025 to enable delivery of full-year performance in line with current expectations. So they have to deliver these, this pipeline, to hit their forecast. Now, forecasts are revenue down 12% at 317.2 million. Net profit up 58% at 3 million. At 29 pence per share, puts them on a PE of 25, not cheap. However, they do have cash, so EV earnings ratio would be -2.9 or something. But again, it's all based on the pipeline. And it seems like the share price hasn't moved on this. So I would assume, the net profit margin is less than 1%. And this, of course, is contract. I suppose, is it delivered in 26, 27? Yeah, so it's not really material, I don't think, Watkin Jones, but it's worth keeping an eye on. It could have a recovery play here. I mean, it'll help with the interest rates coming down, I assume. Anything else? Oh, yeah, just one more. Zoo Digital. They support major Hollywood studios and streaming services to globalise their content and reach audiences everywhere by providing leading technology-enabled localisation and media services. So basically they do dubbing or resizing, reformatting of, content around the world. I know a lot of people said AI will eat their lunch. It may do, but they will also be a user of AI. So it's, and they'll be using the AI. But nevertheless, I don't believe it's a business worth looking at. Market cap, 13.5 million at 14 pence. Enterprise value, 4.9. And these were final results. So these were the final results for 2025, year ended in March, end of March. Revenue up by 22%, to £36.7 million. I've converted from dollars at 0.74 conversion rate. So up $36.7 million top line versus $30 million. Loss before tax of $6.17 million versus a loss before tax of $15.13 million. Net debt increased by 349% to $1.44 million versus $320K of net debt. Forecast for 26, our revenue to drop 15% to $31.45 million, and net loss of just under $1 million, $962K versus $5.9 million. The most positive thing I can say about Zoo is that their figures do not or did not get any worse. However, this is a low bar considering how bad their 2024 figures were. They state, I hate companies stating gross cash. Doesn't make any difference whatsoever. Gross cash is nothing. It's disingenuous. Don't keep doing this, companies. You have debt as well. So your net debt worsened to 349. So essentially, it's like having two bank accounts, you know, one with £1,000 in cash, the other one with, you know, 2,000 in debt. And you're just saying to someone, yeah, I've got cash of £1,000. Maybe you get £2,000 of debt. You've got a net debt of £1,000. So I hate it when companies ignore the net debt in their highlights, you know, bullet points at the top of an RNS. And it just, like I say, it makes me distrust a company when you say that. Having net gross cash. Gross cash means nothing, really. In the outlook statement, they state, the entertainment industry recovery expected to continue steadily in H2 2025, gradually improving through calendar 2025. While H1 full year 25 trading was in line with full year expectations, visibility in Q4 orders remained limited. So, they expect the entertainment industry to improve, but lack of visibility on orders. This is not encouraging, is it? So you're expecting it to improve, but you haven't got any orders coming in. So it's based on hope, essentially. Now, I try my best to invest in businesses that are profitable and improving. And that's, it's hard. Sometimes you're caught up in the story. It's quite easy to be caught up in the story of a stock. It could be massive. But if you base everything on the figures, you won't go far wrong. Like I said, I try to invest in businesses that are improving, and that means fundamentally the figures, the numbers, not the narrative, and are profitable. This company is loss-making, and it's not getting any worse. So it might experience a relief rally on this alone, but it's not enough for a sustainable rise, especially as their balance sheet is weak, and they are still forecast to make losses for 2026. This means it will get weaker. For me, it's an avoid. Zoo Digital. That's it for the podcast. Thanks so much for listening. If you get some value from this, by all means, pay the value back and give me a rating and review on your podcast channel, your network, whatever it is, Apple, I don't know, Spotify. I don't know if you can give reviews on Spotify. I'm so hot. I think I'm falling asleep. Anyway, thanks so much for that. Don't forget, you can join the ShareBiggers Investment Club. You can see a lot more detail on all these companies. I'm scratching the surface here on the database, and there's a lot more on the website apart from that, of course. I'm probably covering 1% of the website, but I'm probably covering about 5% of the database here. Like I said, you can see a lot more detail. And if you want to get access to that detail, go to sharepickers.com. You can get 25% off for summer only. It ends in September. So you can get access to all this data, loads of stock ideas based on good fundamentals, not stories. That does not, give companies a sustainable rise in the share price. Stories, they pop and drop. So a good sustainable rise, good investment ideas for less than a jumbo sausage. In fact, a battered jumbo sausage from the chip shop. And that's less than the price of a latte for a week. Simple as that. Thanks for listening. Speak to you tomorrow. Muchos apreciados.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Please do your own research.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.